Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, a great author, Jennifer Tyler Lee. She's been on most of the big cooking shows, Rachel Ray, etc. And this is a wonderful book, a wonderful synopsis, almost of all of her work, 52 New Food Challenges, a family cooking adventure for each week of the year with 150 recipes. And it really is a wonderful book and goes through a lot of recipes, but especially what to do with your family. That's why I'm thrilled with it. It's a great book. We were talking when we got interrupted by the commercials, which is a necessary and wonderful interruption, about what to do if you are exercising but gaining weight. This is a study in the United States of 81 women who were exercising and gaining weight. And not all of them were exercising, gaining weight. They were healthy, sedentary. It was in Phoenix at Arizona State University. And they looked at the end of the 12 weeks of the program, and more than the fair share were fatter rather than thinner. And, in fact, some had gained as much as 10 pounds while they had increased exercise. And what they found is the women were just eating more. So if you start an exercise program or a walking program and you're gaining weight, the problem is exactly what you think. You're eating more calories and you're eating more. So very careful when you start to, and I believe that one of the keys is getting a buddy to help you and then writing down everything about the size and amount of food you're eating, because otherwise you can gain weight pretty darn easily, because a little bit of exercise does stimulate appetite. What do we mean by a little bit? Well, the three components of physical activity for you to be healthier are 10,000 steps a day, 10K a day, no excuses. Show some resistance for 15 minutes, two times a week. And then once you've mastered those for at least a month for both of them, then you add cardio. So the treadmill with high speeds and sweating in a cool room, which is also getting your heart rate above 80% of your age-adjusted max. That is, if you're sweating in a cool room, it's above 80% of your age-adjusted max. The goal for doing that is 20 minutes three times a week, but don't do that till you've mastered both weightlifting for 30 days, that is resistance exercise, moving a weight against gravity. That weight can be your body. And we've got a wonderful program on doing that, but either that or lifting weights or doing machines, etc., that are moving weights against gravity. That's all those machines that are Nautilus, etc., are. When you set up the weight, you're seeing what you're really doing is moving that against gravity. That's also what you do with free weights. Bridge, what's your thoughts on that?
I think that those are all great. I think that the 10,000 steps is extremely important, but that it's only going to get you so far. So I think that the resistance training was probably the component that was missing for the women in these studies. And they also were only working out 3 days a week. So you should be aiming for a minimum of 5 days per week.
Right. In fact, I think you 10K a day, every day, no excuses is the thing. And that 10K breaks down insulin resistance. So 10K really is a key to do. And if you find you're gaining weight when you add exercise, you're probably gaining calories. It's one of the problems. If you're only doing the exercise 3 days a week and you're eating more 7 days a week, you're going to easily overeat compared to what your exercise is burning out. The next story I like is one about long-term shift work. You know, what shift work is, you are doing a evening work or night work, and then you do day work, you rotate it. And what long-term shift work does is it's linked to decreased brain function. So this was researchers in Sweden and France tracked the cognitive abilities of more than 3,000 people who were either working in a range of sectors or had retired at 3 points, 1996, 2001, and 2006, and they followed them for an average of about 7 years. But they talked to them about what they had done in shift work for their whole life. It turned out if you've done this, that is, done shift work for 10 years, you have the cognitive abilities of someone who is 6.5 years older. That is, shift work ages your brain as though you are 6.5 years older. Now, it's possible to regain it, they found. 5 years after these people had stopped doing it, they had regained most of their cognitive abilities, only their speed of thinking had slowed. So shift work is a long-term hazard to your brain, and you probably then, if you're going to do shift work, need to do the things that protect it. Most important, manage stress. That's 26 points out of 100 for your brain. And number two is to do aerobic exercise. That is, we talked about this before, doing cardio or doing exercise that gets you to sweat in a cold room or that is more than 80% of your age-adjusted maximum heart rate. Your age-adjusted maximum heart rate is 220 minus your age. So if you're 50, 220 minus 50 is 170. And you got to do 80% of that. So you take away 10% is 17. You take away another 10% or 17. So you've taken away 34 from 170, or you've got 136 beats per minute. And the other way of doing it is obviously if you're sweating in a cool room, that's the easier way of doing it. But that cardio increases your brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor, what we call miracle growth for your brain, so you increase your memory center, so that protects you. The other thing is some good foods such as salmon or ocean trout, or if you can't get those or don't like those, DHA, 900 milligrams a day, makes you 6 years younger, so it absolutely contradicts or countermands the shift work in getting you younger.
And I think, can I add one thing?
Sure.
Brain puzzles that test your mind, you know, like the different word puzzles and those types of things that you have to do and really get you thinking. I think that we've talked about it on past shows, that they can really help to improve your memory.
To give you some quantitation of that, and so people don't overgo it. On a scale of 0 to 100, the brain puzzles are about a 4 out of 100. Managing stress, that is, being able to deep breathe or whatever you can do. There are 8 different techniques that we teach in Stress Free Now. You can get to that at clevelandclinic.org/wellness. Go to Stress Free Now. It's a program you can download. It goes through 8 different techniques. There is a charge for it, but it goes through 8 different techniques and gets you to practice them. If you learn one of those techniques and do it regularly, that's 26 points. Cardiovascular exercise is another 24 points, so that's 50 points out of 100 for your brain. Food choices around 14, so 64, all that you get from the best of the crossword puzzles and other puzzles are about a 4 out of 100. So you want to get as much as you can. As I said, coming up right at the bottom of the hour, 52 new food challenges with Jennifer Tyler Lee, a wonderful book, Crunch and Color, and What You Do for Your Children. I found that one of her recipes that she uses for Brussels sprouts chips is very similar to one we've published a while ago, too, on asparagus and roasting asparagus, tasting very much like the French fries. We'll be right back, coming back with Jennifer Tyler Lee. This is Dr. Mike for Bridget and myself.